It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
Another small March snowfall yesterday morning frustrated my outdoor work, but served to remind me of how much I need to do for spring. Each time it snows, the branches and berry canes etched in white loom all the larger, shouting, "We need pruning!" I felt a bit overwhelmed walking by the blackberry patch. That feeling intensified of being overwhelmed as I pitchforked a wheelbarrow full of muck from the barn floor and saw again how much remains to do. It feels like I might just as well have thrown the hay bales directly on the floor and skipped the intermediate stage where the sheep tear it out of the manger to eat. The hay supply is actually running low. In the fall of 2021, I overbought and ended up with hay left in the barn when spring arrived. As a result, in the fall of 2022, with a fairly constant number of sheep, I adjusted my buying down, and now it seems I only have about 2 weeks' supply. I'm going to have to bring in more hay in the next week or so to bridge that gap. I'm not sure this really represents a misjudgment on my part. In 2021, the hay I bought was second cut, the late summer cutting, fresh and tender, and the sheep tended to consume it thoroughly. This last fall, there was no second cut hay available to buy as a result of our midsummer drought. The first cut hay I was able to find was stalky, drier, and coarse, not nearly as attractive to the sheep. The result has been much more wasted hay left on the barn floor, much more mucking on the floor for me, and much quicker depletion of my supply of hay bales because they're really not being fully consumed. I made the best choice I could in buying that hay, and thankfully the sheep don't complain. I do perceive a slightly higher degree of frenzy when they get their daily grain treats, though, a little more aggression about knocking each other out of the way to get at this scarce resource. The herd dynamics have led to a certain degree of debate around here about how best to handle feeding time. On that subject, I'm much less confident about which way to go. Many of you will recall the birth of Doodle, the little lamb rejected by his mother last July. Doodle is doing fine. Most of the day he hangs with the herd. He plays and hops around like a standard healthy little lamb. He is, not surprisingly, affectionate to humans. But probably as the result of his experience just after birth, he's still quite small, even when compared with his twin sister, the one his mother did not reject. It seems that his fate, as a smaller creature, is to be emphatically knocked out of the way when the sheep compete for their daily grain treat. My solution has been to keep Doodle with me in the barn when I exclude all the others in order to set up the feeding. He accompanies me outside as I trundle the wheelbarrow up to the compost heap. He follows me back into the hay storage room. He follows me when I put out the herd's mineral supplement, and of course, he follows me when I put the grain in their feed bowls. In essence, he gets a huge head start on the other sheep in consuming the grain. I justify this by recognizing that once everyone else comes in, he is going to get knocked out of the way. But my approach turns out to be controversial. My partner Eric, being a consummate human resources professional, urges me to abandon this most favored treatment of Doodle so that he will develop sheep life skills. "Doodle has to learn to compete," says Eric. "He'll never be able to do it if you give him a free pass." And then my possibly soon-to-be housemate, Steve, also criticizes my approach. Steve is something of a shrink manquee. And much as he analyzes the dynamics of the human denizens of Turkana Farms, he ventures deep into the realm of sheep psychology as well. "If the others keep seeing Doodle through the fence, getting special access," insists Steve, "they're going to resent him. He'll be an outcast." But in contrast to Eric, Steve's solution, when he does chores, is to take Doodle aside while the others are busy scrambling for the grain bowls and to let him eat out of his hand. I've expressed my doubts that sheep have complicated enough minds to experience jealousy or resentment. Those, I feel, are uniquely human emotions. Steve disagrees. They're simple emotions, just as basic as feeling love or the need to be loved, he tells me. They're part of the territory. To be sure, sheep are by nature desperate to belong to the herd. They need each other's company and are miserable in isolation. They have enduring feelings of attachment. Ewes who lose lambs are despondent and cry for days. If that's love, they certainly have it. But even if I concede to Steve that sheep also have jealousy and resentment, I don't get how feeding Doodle by hand would avoid those feelings. Won't the herd resent Doodle's privilege that way too? Or is Steve right to think that maybe they're too busy eating to notice? There you have it. Three approaches. My, just give him the food. Eric's, give him the skills. And Steve's, sneak him the love. That probably say something about our respective characters and life experience. But as to which one serves Doodle best, I could use some guidance.
Agriculture is underwritten by Turkana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.